Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV Podcast 502's After Show.
A sneezy, sniffly show tonight, apparently, for all of us. Anthony Barella started it off.
It's all his fault.
Yep. Hit me then, hit you as well.
Yeah.
Just kind of getting us all tonight, which is funny. I feel great. I don't know why I suddenly sneezed here.
I feel much better than I did a week ago, which you is much better than 2 weeks ago. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but here we are. So welcome in, everyone. It's the After Show. After Show consists of disc golf conversations generally. If you got questions that are disc golf related or otherwise, the YouTube chat board is the easiest place to submit something. Maybe you're watching along on Facebook, all three of you. So you can still put in your questions there. We'll try and answer them or discuss any topic that you put up. But also they can get off the rails and not be disc golf related, which is kind of where I'll start.
Okay.
I had to go to UPS today to deliver some boxes. It's a journey there almost every day to deliver boxes, my disc in a box, 100 count shipping or, you know, going out to somebody. What a subtle little plug there. I
not so
pull into the UPS parking area, which is kind of, I'll call it a strip mall like atmosphere, but I pull in there. There are zero cars to my right and zero cars to my left. I pull into a standard parking space and I'm sitting there wrapping something, turning something off or doing something on my phone for 2 seconds. Actually, I think I was posting the AB picture to put him on Instagram for tonight. I think I decided to do that quickly thinking, oh, I meant to do this an hour ago. So I'm posting that. A woman in a small SUV that also had, I don't know, maybe a 15-year-old in the car, pulls up next to me and is so effing close that if either of us opened our doors, it's impossible to get out.
So did you only have one spot on each side of you open, or did you have multiple spots?
All of them were open.
And she chose to park right next to you.
And to the point, and I looked to the point where right next to me is fine, but I'm like, no, you're like right next to me.
Yeah.
To the point where when I did eventually look, she was out of her yellow lines and into my yellow parking lines because she was that close. I'm perfect. Perfectly parked.
And it was a small SUV, not like a
hybrid SUV. Yeah. Like
this woman's a bad parker.
I looked at her. I stared because I'm pulled in forward and she pulls in the other way. So we're like opposite. So obviously the front of my car is going one way. The front of her car is going in the opposite.
You were looking right next to her.
So I'm looking right at her.
Like right next to her.
I stared at her. I had the restraint to not just scream, what the f- are you doing?
Wow.
But I stared at her and she oblivious.
Well, that's. Goes, I mean, par for the course then.
It now makes me think of the meme with the urinals where there's one guy and all the open urinals and then somebody goes and stands saying,
yeah,
what? I still right now with every fiber in me have no effing clue what in the world she's thinking. And it had, and I cannot stress this enough. If she parked perfectly in her spot,
because my guess is
there would be enough room.
Yeah, you're parked probably as close to the entrance that you.
No, not even.
Oh,
there's two spots that were closer.
Oh, I was gonna say because if there was nobody parked there, I would think someone would pull in and you'd park in the prime spot next to
I didn't even pull into the prime spot. There were two empty spaces to my right and three or four to my left and essentially nobody in front of me.
Okay.
Like, it was basically an empty parking lot. And she pulls up almost on top of me. I'm just like, what the f- are you doing? I was so baffled. So I stared at her. And then I turned my car back on. And frustratingly, not that she knew, I put my car into drive and I pull up the 10 feet into the next wide open space on the other side.
So she probably couldn't even have gotten out of her car.
No, we couldn't. We could. I wanted to sit there and wait to see what she was going to do because I had to finish the post anyway.
Sure.
And I wanted to wait. And I was like, how is she going to do this? And then am I going to scream at her once she hits my door? Because it would be with her size, which wasn't small, nor my, but she couldn't have physically gotten out of her car door. Hmm. What?
Unless she was just going to send the 15-year-old in.
Which she didn't. That's a good question. Okay. She didn't.
Not that you should still park that close to somebody because
I couldn't get out.
Because you couldn't get out. I
couldn't have gotten out of my car. She couldn't have gotten out of her car. So I turn on my car, put it in drive. I pull it up 10 feet. Again, a whole other row of empty spaces. She drove through those empty spaces to get to where she did.
Wow.
I pull up and I park. And then she gets out and I happen to be getting out a moment later. And she's going into the Domino's, which is literally right next door to the UPS. And I'm just staring at her like, and I held back. I held back, surprisingly, because I am, believe it or not, folks, I'm good at being a dick. I held back, though. I didn't say anything. I don't think she caught any of my looks. And that was the end of it. I am still baffled to this moment. What in the world possessed her? Again, if she parks good in her spot, I'm like, okay, that seems a bit much, but
there's space,
but that's fine. There's a space and that's fine. She was literally in my yellow spaces, like that much into mine.
Hmm.
You can't think of possibly think of a logical reason. Can you?
No, I mean,
you were close. If she's sending her kid in and not thinking about her having to get out, it's still weird. Then you would just probably pull right up to the door.
Exactly.
There's 100 other ways that would still go down. All I thought is, even if I wasn't in the car and she did get herself out when either of us came back to a car, when you're parked that close to me, how are either of us supposed to get back into our cars? Mm. What are you thinking?
Maybe she thought you were cute. Just wanted to get up close. Check it out. See if you had a ring.
I don't think so.
No? Okay.
Because initially I thought to myself, does she not know I'm in here? And then when she pulls up and she sees me in my car, she's definitely going to just pull away, right? Just to take any other spot. Mm-hmm. You're not going to park next to somebody that close when they're in the car and maybe having to get out because she's not knowing how she's even going to get out. She's definitely going to pull away. I waited for that moment.
Nope.
No.
Hmm.
Anyway, I was to ship out some boxes and a disc that I dropped off, along with a whole set of bags. But I'm all worked up just thinking about it again because it was so dumb.
It's the world we live in, Terry.
If I had to guess, just because I think it was maybe a 15-ish year old son in the car, I'd guess she was 30 something. You know, you could maybe factor in, oh, is she a brand new driver? Is she old and senile? Everything. 35-ish.
Okay.
I don't know. No, it was not a fancy car. Someone's asking if it's a BMW or Mercedes or a, you know, any car of any significant massive expense or maybe entitlement that you think goes along with it or whatever. No,
those those people probably park further away from you. They're probably more conscious. My wife, it frustrates me sometimes to like if I'm in the passenger seat and she drives around a parking lot because she will pass perfectly fine spots just because there is a car next to her, not even like poorly parked. And she drives a Jeep Grand Cherokee. So it's a little bit bigger, but she will drive closer. And I usually don't park up front just because I have two good legs and I can walk. But I'm not going to pass up like a spot that's four or five back. My wife, she'll just like drive around and look for a spot that's more open so that she does not, as she calls it, get a door ding in her car. And I get it. I respect it.
That's the same way.
And
my car's not that fancy, but it's still almost brand new.
And it's a Bugatti. I would call that fancy.
I do feel like, and I've even taught my daughter, if you have the option of like this space or this space, I would take this one for this reason.
Yeah.
Just because if you can avoid the chance of somebody else dinging your car, then I'm good with it still for now. Fast forward 5 years, and if my car's got a bunch of dings or like is a little more beat up, yeah, maybe like yours, whatever, or just older, then maybe you get a little looser with it and you're not as concerned. But yeah, right now, knowing mine is relatively dent and scratch free still, by some amazing luck. Yeah, I will sometimes, go a few extra spaces if it means staying away from some of the more populated spots. But
yeah, I drive
not when this woman's parked on top of me.
I drive a 2009 Honda Fit. It's got rust spots on the doors, like kind of where the
all right, quit the, flexing the corner, already. We got it.
This guy don't care. I'm kind of hoping people kind of bump into me and hit me. I'm like, come on,
there's an insurance claim.
Come on,
somewhere. Insurance.
Even if they pay me cash, I'll just be like, what did you do to my car? Oh, my neck.
Perfect. Quick side note, again, this one's definitely non-golf related, but being out in Bend this weekend for the first time, some of you have been familiar with it. I don't have a big rant about it or anything or spiel, but I went to Good Life as a brewery. It's a sizable brewery. I think Nate Doss told me they do more beer in a single tank than Nate does in a whole year. I mean, so they're sizable enough. Good Life. So if you're familiar with Bend and or that area, you probably have heard of them. I heard of some beverages that I might like over there that turned out to be just okay. They had a couple of stouts on tap, a Snickers stout, which I thought would be, you know, a top five for me, and it wasn't. And then one stored in some, George Dinkle bourbon barrels. It was okay. Pretzel was good. Check my Facebook. It's all out there.
But,
yeah, got to take in Good Life, which interestingly, I think more importantly, the bigger story to that really is when Nate and Val had moved to Bend and were getting serious. Well, they had moved to Bend for quite some time, but then when they eventually got serious about brewing and starting Bevel, Nate interned and worked at Good Life for a few months.
That's cool.
And so there's definitely a connection there. And, and then one of their main brewers, which just helped them win a gold medal at a big beer festival.
I saw Nate's post.
Also worked at Good Life for a while. So anyway, some of you saw it already, but yeah, pretty cool. Got to check it out.
Terry, you'll be happy to know that Smashbox TV's taxes.
Boom.
Have not yet been
filed. Have been filed for an extension.
Yes.
Yes.
Only because
we keep running from that law.
We run. No, we work with LWS.
Yes.
Because, you know, they're awesome. And I got them all the paperwork last week and said, remember me? I'd love you to do our taxes again. And he's like, okay, cool. Get your stuff in as quick as you can. I'll see what I can do. So I think I had it all submitted by like Thursday, which I am under no pretenses to know that going to a tax person on the final week, I'm as big of a jerk as everybody else. I'm sure everybody's doing that. And so he's like, well, if I get to it, I get to it. If not, I'll file for an extension. Well, so today or yesterday, they notified me. They're like, your taxes, we filed an extension. Because I also get my personal taxes done there as well. Seeing as how just get it all done at once, I can submit everything. So we won't know, Terry, for a few more weeks.
If we're going to be in jail.
If we're going to be in jail.
Okay.
So patreon.com for bail.
Yes. Put right in the notes, bail. I was looking for the line, and I think the closest line to it is, poor planning on your part does not necessitate an emergency on mine.
And I told him, I said, of course I understand.
There's nobody that lives by that more than I do.
I know. It's one of those things. It's, you know, if I show up, you know, if I plan to get my hair cut and I schedule it 4 days in advance, that's a lot of time, I think, for a haircut. Taxes? Not so much. Not so much taxes.
No. Sorry, I was just reading through that. I saw looks like some updates to the Las Vegas challenge.
They're moving it out of Las Vegas.
Asking AB and then now seeing what he'll do with that, I think is is obviously fair for AB, but I think it's going to be interesting who will be making game time decisions to possibly withdraw from that. And that's no knock on the event. It's just when you're talking about the tour and you're talking about going from the Dynamic Disc Open over to the OTB 2 weeks later, it was intentional that one of the longest trips of the year had a week off in between, and just the fact they're ready for a week off. Vegas is right in line. It makes all the sense in the world to play Vegas if you're looking to play a big event. And we have big names and lots of people are signed up and presumably playing. I'm curious, though, just as we heard from AB, who may get to that point. If any one of our top players wins, let's just say one or both of the next two events, when you're looking at a Music City and the Champions Cup, let's say you win one or both or whatever. Is that enough for you to be like, you know, I don't know if I need four rounds at Vegas.
No.
I'm ready for the week off to reset for OTB. Of course, I hope every single person that signs up goes and plays because they're playing for the fans, they're playing for themselves, they're playing for the event. I'm not suggesting or wishing otherwise, but
it's not going to be shocking when two or three of the top 10 decide not to show up for some reason.
Yeah, and real quick, not that we're paid for the plug, but you pull up the list. There's some very legitimate names.
This has
significantly beefed up, I feel like, in the last few weeks. So maybe everything I said is irrelevant because these guys just recently did sign up. The field is getting more stout, I feel like.
Kelvin Heimberg, Gannon Burr, Ricky Wysocki, Matty O, Isaac Robinson, AB, Joey Buckets, Bradley Williams, Aaron Gossage, Alden Harris.
All like, 10-29 or above.
Yeah,
for those Matt Bell, Nate Sexton, and so on. Like,
I don't foresee Calvin dropping out. It's a big in of an event. I think he'll probably maybe feel more of a pull or obligation to go there. Gannon tends to roll with Isaac and Alden. I wouldn't foresee him dropping, but as we said, Ricky, would it shock me if Ricky didn't play if he wins an event coming up? Takes the week off? Not at all. Matty O, same thing. I could see Matty O like just kind of deciding, maybe I'm going to take a week off, you know, but it's again, some of these names, it's not going to be shocking. Some of them, I think, you know, as we said, AB might not play. He might just look at him and go like, I could go for a break.
Yeah.
There's no reason. So, and there's a few other, you know, events going on that weekend. Not that these guys are going to go play those, but there are some.
Yeah, there's the 303 taking place up there in Colorado. That's a Q series event. So if you're looking to get points and qualify for the pro tour, that's where you need to be. That makes perfect sense. And it's already a well-established good event, but that's going on that weekend. And I think the Masters Cup is going on that weekend out in California.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it is. I was trying to remember all the things I was looking at. Yeah, the Masters Cup, which has a couple of very legitimate names on it as well. So,
yeah, and as we see, the FPO a little bit lighter on your top players. Jen Allen is your top player for Vegas,
ratings wise.
Then Kat Allen, Lisa Fakis, Luque, Maria Oliva, Sophia Donaghy. So I think you're seeing the FPO maybe kind of. They're taking a break. And I believe most of the overseas players at this point will probably have gone back overseas and are kind of taking that break and prepping for Europe.
Well, and nothing for nothing, it's also the Copenhagen Open weekend.
Yeah.
So it's the first event on the Disc Golf Pro Tour Europe side. And to click on that, you see Nicholas Antola, Ezra Robinson, Lauri Lehtinen, Jakub Semerad, Chris Clemens, Jesse Nieminen, Greg Barsby, Paul Ulibarri. So you're going to have players over there as well. So talking about a world spreading.
Yeah,
a worldwide spread out weekend on Mother's Day weekend of all weekends. So anyway, just something that is interesting of note. And then some players that just flat out might not play anywhere. We'll see. All right. What else is on the board? Is anyone filming LVC? That's a good question that Ryan has just asked. At one point, I remember I was boarding my flight to Singapore and I got a message from Jeff Panis saying, hey, looking to help out LVC to figure out media stuff. Could you submit a proposal or a bid, which I put together and got minutes before I went to Singapore back in January. It sounds, when I caught up with him again recently, Jeff Panis, it sounds as if Gatekeeper is doing FPO and MPO for that weekend. So they're doing double duty. Gatekeeper will be in charge on top of it. I don't know if there's any other cards outside of lead card for both of those that will have any focus by any other teams, but I know Gatekeeper is going to be on it. So, yeah. Speaking of coverage,
I'll say Citizen asks, are we getting any coverage of the EU events?
The pro tours doing pro tour stuff with European
camera ops labor and such. Yeah.
What that all exactly means, Johnny nor I really know for sure. I think you're going to have all European commentators, sideline reporters. I think it's going to be an all European crew almost exclusively. I think more disc golf media or more disc golf? I think they're going to be a large backbone of it. Yuha and a ton of others. I think it's going to be almost exclusively all European manned, so to speak, and then featured, you know, within the DGN. But that's my understanding.
Okay.
So I guess we'll see. But speaking of coverage, one announcement that got made, I think, on Friday morning, that I'm excited to share with everybody is I'm heading to Mexico for my first time ever in any capacity. Golf.
Like on the run? Are you?
I might be by then because that's going to be the week after Worlds. So who knows? I'm going to probably play some big bets on Worlds.
Oh, good.
And then in the last putt, when somebody's not doing what I need to do, I'm going to scream. It's going to throw them off. I'm going to win the bet. I'm going to win like probably $1 million pesos, and I'm effing out of there and off to Mexico to never see me again.
That's great.
I haven't thought about this, but
don't put much thought into it. Just do it, Terry.
The million. Oh shoot. I'm such an idiot. I don't even know if $1 million pesos is a lot of money. I'm guessing it's not now that I think.
Oh God. No, it's like, no, it's probably like $400.
No, it's 58,000.
Okay.
58,808 right now. So, yeah, 58 grand. Yeah, I'm going to win 58 grand on the Worlds, at least for one of the divisions. Who knows what I'm going to bet
multiple
on the other one.
Multiple ones.
And then, but yeah, the week after Worlds, there's an event and teaming up with Fabian and Disc Golf Mexico.
That's awesome.
Dynamic Disc Mexico. Just super excited. I don't know every single detail just yet. Obviously, I'll continue to promote it and talk about it as it gets closer. But it will be my first time ever stepping foot in Mexico. I'll be flying into Mexico City. We are about 2 hours south of Mexico City is where the event's going to take place. We're going to get coverage. I'm just so excited to be introduced to the entire culture and the community. And I know GK Pro has done some stuff, and Luke Humphreys and Kevin Jones and those guys, Paul Ullman, I believe, and a few others have been down there in some capacity. I'm excited to go have my experience down there as well. So super, super excited about it. And that announcement was just made official and announced, Friday or so. So I wanted to share it with you all here. I've been kind of hinting at it for a few weeks.
Ooh.
I'm not disrespecting the pesos. I just don't know how many.
No, I think they're worth. I think he said that was directed at me when I jokingly said it's worth like $400.
I have heard that the bot is struggling to the US dollar right now. So I don't know. Are there, as naive as a question as this is.
Oh, you're going to ask me something smart and I'm not going to know.
No, can I just go anywhere and cash out and do a currency exchange at any point, anywhere, just to play the currency game exchange, right? Like, I could.
I think so.
Now, every time I've had to do a currency exchange, almost every time, you have to show your passport, but you're not necessarily going to that country. You're just showing your passport. And I think you can get currency exchanges from your local banks.
Yeah.
So I don't know what's stopping me from going in and getting a whole bunch of Thai baht right now when it's really weak against the dollar. Somebody tell me, give me this update, because it feels like a game I'm ready to gamble on.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, if I'm being blunt.
Terry's looking to make all them tens of dollars.
anyway. What did I say? You don't know what you don't know? Well,
Ryan Pilcher says local banks tend to give bad deals.
Yeah, there is always a discussion as to whether you should be doing it at an airport or if you should be doing it at a destination airport as opposed to, you know, the international one you're flying out of. Should you do it, you know, a departure or an arrival? There's obviously, it's like the stock market. There's a lot that goes into the timing of it more than anything. But yeah, I have some ideas. I definitely have some ideas.
They're not good ideas, but you have ideas, which is a start.
I didn't claim they were good.
Which is a start.
Says, can't wait to hear about all the Mexican beers.
Yeah, you get to try some new flavors.
Yeah. I mean, if I have to oblige, that's all there is to it. The dollar is accepted at most touristy places. Yeah, I guess probably depends on where you go. No Terry approved beer in Mexico, just meaning stouts or I can't imagine that heavy, dark 15% stouts are a very popular. They're already
in Mexico.
Yeah, they're already
probably not.
Regional and seasonal more than anything. Something tells me that that's not a popular genre down there, but. Mm. Again, sometimes I'll go on that that hunt for you.
Well, Jim Brown says you're better off drinking the beer than the water. Mm. And that's true in some spots. You definitely need to be careful as far as what you consume and what you drink when you're down there, because different things hit different people differently, Terry.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Side note, unrelated in every way. I'm intrigued and a bit nervous about going to see my 13-year-old daughter's first ever tennis match on Thursday. She'd never swung.
You think she can beat Anthony Barella?
No. She never had used a racket in any capacity prior to 2 weeks ago. I'm interested to see how this is going to turn out for her and her friends.
Yeah, you would think that.
And I didn't get her professional lessons.
Clearly. They've got to have like some sort of JV squad that she's going to play against another JV player.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's like a million fresh kids in like seventh grade.
It's going to be ugly. Oh, so is she playing like inner squad?
It's against another school, but I'm assuming it's hopefully other brand new seventh graders that are equally as versed.
I mean, you would think that they would definitely rank them and like, oh, hey, look, Kenzie here has only been playing for 2 weeks. Let's not put her against, you know, the other seventh grader that's been playing since they were three.
And yeah,
I think she'll be fine. It'll be an ugly match.
That's why I say it.
But it will be fun to watch. Yeah. And
I am definitely, I'm looking forward to it and we'll see how it all shakes out when it's all said and done.
Wonderful disaster, says Ray.
Ah, that is some great phrasing. Yeah. I think that's going to be the case. I am also excited that at some point here in the next week or so, heading down to the Peoria area to check out the Northwood Black redesign, I think is a strong word. You guys have seen lots of different parts of the Northwood courses over these last few years. And I think there's almost a hybrid of sorts that's going to be part of the Champions Cup, where we're pulling from some holes that you saw just last year, and then maybe other holes from other parts of the property and the course that you saw a few years ago. And then that's what's going to ultimately design this final course. So what you saw for second or third round last year at the Ledgestone is not exactly what you're going to see for Champions Cup. And with that, I'm excited to go. I don't think there's any major changes. I think it's more of a rerouting and then some polishing up of things. So I'm excited to go take a look at that in the next few days down there in the Peoria area. So, but as far as I know, to answer your question, Ryan, same layout for all four rounds. I believe that's going to be the case. Same course, same layout, all four rounds. MPO and FPO will play different tees. I don't know if there's going to be any different pins or not, but they're going to play from different tees. I believe that to be the case.
So. And you've got some business down in Peoria as well as checking out the course. It's going to help you cover for when you do the coverage of the event out of Bend.
Yeah, I I think that refreshing myself with that property will be great. And then also checking in with, you know, Nate Heinold and his crew just to get some of the additional insights or tidbits that I can, knowing that I'm going to be in the booth in Bend along with Doss and Sexton and then Val.
Sexton isn't going to play.
No,
that's it's a major, which is why it surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, I do not believe he is registered to play. I think I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks,
which that's fine. I'm just a little surprised.
Sexton, you know, he's playing LVC. And I think we had to talk about it, that there's just select events he's kind of picking and choosing throughout this year that he's going to be participating in. And if he's not participating and there's the booth in Bend, he's going to be joining us at said booth in Bend because it's just a couple hour drive for him. So
nice.
We'll hear from him quite a bit this year. So that's kind of cool. What else you got? You got anything?
Not too much. Just been wandering around the neighborhood. Got my bike out and down. It's been finally the weather's a little bit nicer. So I grabbed two of our bikes and I yelled at my kid. I said, "Hey, get up here." And I made him go for a bike ride, which he's not. It sounds funny because you and I, when we were younger, lived on our bikes. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, so to see him get out and he's 14 on a bike, maybe for the 10th time in his life, like just how still a little unsteady he is and getting started. He's pretty good. He's pretty solid on a bike these days, but he does not bike nearly as much as I feel like he should for a kid his age, but different, you know, different life than what we had.
Yeah, so and everything is, yeah.
Yeah. So, but getting him out there was good. We went for, you know, two and a half miles around the neighborhood, went down over by the lake and whatnot. So that was good. Watching Fallout with my wife, which is based on a video game.
Okay.
It is post-apocalyptic.
Okay.
Kind of a comedy. It's got a bunch of people you would recognize. At one point, like Michael Rapaport shows up. Kyle MacLachlan is in it. You'd know him if you don't know him by name. Mm-hmm. But just there are quite a few people you look at and you're like, oh, I know that person. They're a comedian, or I know that. And I think we're three episodes in. We've kind of been taking it relatively slow. They dropped them all at once, which doesn't seem to happen much anymore. And so far, I love it. It's good. I like to play the game. I've played, I think, two different versions of Fallout in the last 10 years. And it's good so far. It's a slow burn, but it's pretty solid. It's funny. Mm. So, thumbs up from John if you want to watch something. Tim says, I binged it all in one day. That's a little too much. I made, and I'm going to throw it in quotes, the mistake of inviting my wife to watch the first one because I didn't think she'd find it. I didn't know what it was going to be, so I wasn't 100% sure if she would like it. It would have been better off if she didn't, because I could have probably burned through them quicker. But now I need to wait for her so we can watch. It's, you know, it's kind of the downside of inviting your significant other, your partner, your wife to watch something with you, is that now you need to take it at their pace. So, he was on vacation last week. That's why he got to burn through it in one day. Well, lucky you.
Yeah. No,
other than that, I'm doing interviews now at work and we're hiring someone from our department.
So should I apply?
No,
I'm qualified.
I don't think you are, but
damn it.
Actually you probably are. For what I'm looking for, you would be qualified.
Give me the job description.
It's basically help desk.
Oh yeah. Yeah. All day.
Just like answering.
Idiot. Let me reset your password.
Yep.
Try again. Did you hit reset? Yeah. Turn off the computer. Yep. Turn it back on.
Yeah. I can't print. Yep. I locked myself out. I can't log into this or that. Yes.
I think I got a dirty virus. Yeah. Yeah, you do. Yeah,
it's a lot of that. Setting up. We're doing a big upgrade over the next 16 months because Windows 10 is no longer going to be under support next year, October. So we want to make sure that our company is up to speed with Windows 11. So it's going to be basically 16 months of somebody setting
Windows
up.
Windows 11 pretty old already?
Windows 11 is supposed
for a minute.
Yeah, but it's going to be supported for like the next 8 years. Okay. So, and they don't have anything else. So it's not like you can go anywhere else.
Try a temporary password of dipshit 2.
Yes.
No, try dipshit 3. Oh, yes.
So I'm in the process of hiring and I get to deal with, you know, people who are, I can't say not qualified, but narrowing through resumes, kind of looking at a resume and be like, this person doesn't fit because they have a bunch of coding experience. Mm. Why are you applying to a help desk position?
Yeah.
On one hand, I think maybe they're just looking for a job.
Yeah, get their foot in the door.
Or maybe they're they want to get out of coding and get into more tech support. I kind of have to, you know, I weigh those options when I have to look at someone, even just to bring them in for an interview. Then, as always, you get the typical someone says they're going to show up, they never do, or they cancel at last minute. You have an interview with someone who's decent, and then you get their salary requirements, and you're like, oh, hell no. Mm. Like, there's no way you're making six figures at this job, buddy. Mm. It's a lot of that. So it's right now it's finding the right person for the right position.
All right, I'll submit.
Go, come on, bring it on, Ter.
Can I work remotely?
No.
Part-time?
No.
Damn it.
Part of the stipulation, and I've
been, are stouts involved, which is there,
it could be. I mean, I've been telling people, even though it is a job that, other than the computer setup, could be done remotely, I require 3 months of on-site. Mm. Like, you have to, okay, for 3 months you need to work on-site before all I right, trust right. you.
As long as I start in
to be able to
October, I could work October, November, December. I could be there.
I still don't think you could.
And then I go to Thailand for, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. But that would work. That would work. I'm a night owl. I could still help. Yeah. Yeah. We could make this work.
Jim says, you're looking for remote work full time. Again, no remote, at least not for 3 months. We had a bad experience with one of the employees we had about a year ago, where they just started, without even asking, just kind of started slowly working from home. Mm. And I was like, you might want to come in more often. And they didn't. And then saw them post in the middle of the day that they were at the mall. And I'm like, why are you posting this on your socials? Like, yeah, where anyone can see
not,
it.
Not bright.
Like, you're not a bright person. Mm. And so that was, that did not last much longer after that. And so, yeah. And it's going to be a lot of setting up computers.
See, I won't even post that I'm at the course or that I'm watching Harry Mack videos or drinking stouts. I won't post any of that.
You can watch Harry Mack videos at work.
Oh, okay.
I see enough people do it. Today I sat down at the receptionist.
I mean, I'm just listening. I don't even need to watch.
Yeah.
I'm just listening.
Yeah. I sat down at the receptionist station today to upgrade a little piece of software because we're getting a new, like, attendant console. And there she had Star Wars. She was literally watching Star Wars on her phone. It just had it sitting right under her monitor. And granted, she's a receptionist. She does specific things. She has a chance to answer phones. And she's just like, oh, yeah, sorry. I just kind of have that on in the background while I work. And I'm like, I don't care. But at this day and age, you walk around an office, and I bet you out of 20 people, 25 people in our office, 8 of them have a phone sitting there playing something.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it's a different beast than it was 10 years ago.
Yeah, certainly sounds like it. Yeah, I guess it's not really worth getting too far into, but one of the other, if we're backing up and only because I saw it on Facebook earlier today, I don't know what the input entirely looks like and how it goes down.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Down. One of the areas of opportunity for improvement is also some of the marking for the distances. And I know I went off on a big thing about Kristen being inside or outside of the circle. Even just some of the other distances that are closer to the pin. And I think, I don't know if that's a training opportunity to say, hey, red whiskers are 33 feet and the blue ones are at 66 feet. And then the much closer ones, yellow or whatever color, are the bullseye. Like, I think that's been an area of frustration, and it's not new because it's the PDGAs. It's just that now that exact distances are able to be put in, makes it a little more glaring or obvious. It feels like when one is significantly off, there's a time you're watching somebody putt that is, they take 7 steps to the pin, but it's showing up that it's from 4 feet or whatever the case might be. That falls back on empowering the volunteers and or making sure that they're fully up to speed and educated. And that part of that plays into what you were saying earlier about the overall betting mechanism. But just in general, we'd love, it becomes a little disingenuous if you look at some of the year-end stats, which we put a lot of stock into now, and some of those year-end accolades, for C1X and for whatever, all these various stats, you obviously want them as accurate as possible. And I think
I knew there was no way Marweed was that good.
Yeah, dude, that guy is like a 79% C1X.
Oh, God, you're giving him 79?
He just brings his own scorekeepers with him all the time. So
I see him out there before he putts. He draws his own circle.
Yeah,
exactly. It's really weird.
They're clearly 8 feet closer. Yeah, it's so that all goes into it, and part of the of a learning / growing pain / learning curve, maybe an area of opportunity for just education of, we talked about it, is it tough to get volunteers, let alone qualified, make sure that ones. They're fully up to speed with all of these
and
things.
Then they want but, 6 figures. It's amazing.
So it's an opportunity for sure. I would say overall. All right. Tim, I'm not clever enough to even think of, Tim asked, what would be my 3 words for Harry Mack? I don't know. It's funny. I haven't put a lot of thought into it, but he obviously challenges people as a freestyle rapper. He challenges people to give him 3 of the most creative words. And then he always says, no food, no names, or no animals. And then he said, just give me the 3 of the most creative words you can think of, complicated / creative, give those to him. And then he incorporates those all into his freestyle, whatever it might be. And now he's expanding to 5 words and 7 words and all sorts of other things. And he's not writing it down, which is really impressive too.
Yeah,
he freestyles for 6 or 8 minutes or 4 or 6 or 8 minutes. And he's remembered literally all of these words. Obviously some words that are thrown at him are much easier than others, but it's just incredible what he does. I've become they still say Stan. I love watching all these trendy words go in and out of fad or popularity.
AB so quickly. Dropped the word today. He's like,
flowers is the new one.
Yeah. Flowers.
You have to be giving flowers. And I'm not going to lie. I appreciate that. He said those really nice things about me, but in general, yeah, flowers is absolutely,
I hadn't heard that before, but I knew
that's going to come and go.
I knew exactly what it quickly. Meant, but
yeah. Yeah. Funny enough, I was watching a Harry Mack video not too long ago. That's where I heard it for the first time. And it's absolutely like here right now. Dying off from the kids, though, is truss, which is like just basically short for trust, but like trust me or for sure. That's almost completely dead. My kids and all their friends were saying it incessantly.
How about drip? Still, people still have drip?
No. Riz. I don't Riz even know if you hear Riz even as much anymore. No.
That was so like 3 months ago.
But trust, like dead ass, I feel like is dying a little. That one's definitely falling. So it's funny because as obviously a father of
2 trendy 13, kids.
Yeah, a 13 and 15-year-old girls, I hear them all to the point where I want to slap their faces. Of like, I'm so sick of hearing these current words. And then the humor in them being completely out of their vocabulary 2 months later.
Yeah, it's... this type of thing goes so much faster than when we were kids. Like the trends. I mean, we had words that we like rad, cool,
tubular,
I know.
Radical.
Radical. Rad was the one. Like
rad was definitely one of them.
Rad was one of them. those words would last a year and a half. But today, all it takes is one influencer to use one set of word and then boom, it's gone. And these trends now go so fast. And again, I don't know if I should be happy or sad that my son is so far out of these loops. Like, mm. I think he hears some of the words at school, but I've never once heard him try to use a trendy word
in his whole life.
Because he doesn't have a TikTok. He doesn't care about that. If he's watching videos, it's probably something dumb on YouTube, like a Minecraft video or maybe a Fortnite video, even though he doesn't play really Fortnite anymore. But and he just isn't in that area of like hip cool words.
Well, it's all these kids. Carney says my kids say mid. Mid has all but died.
Yeah,
mid. It's there, but
I heard it on a sports broadcast the other day. It was like a talking head show, and someone was like, "Well, what do you think about this?" And someone, like an adult, was like, "It was really mid."
Well, that tells you that adult is out of the loop because it's
100%. They're using it. The minute I hear that on a sports broadcast, I know nobody else is saying that.
Not anymore.
Because 100%, I've always said, by the time practically we learn what it is, it's already out of style.
Well, yeah, sus is pretty much dead, thank God. I'm good with that. Low key, I think low key has been around so much longer than it will continue to be around because I don't know that it was as overplayed.
Sure.
It's kind of been around longer, but kids for a little while, everything was low key this, low key that, low key it'll continue. I think it'll stick around, but it certainly isn't going to die off as quickly as mid or sus are.
I think Carney has it backwards. He says basic is the new mid. Mid was the replacement for basic. Like, I was hearing basic two years ago. Like, that's so basic. Like, I think
similar but different. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, there's based, which I.
Anyway, so is bodacious still in? Yes, Tim. Tim, I bodacious is. Yes. I will admit, one of the things that I no longer do that Dixon Jowers put out there many years ago in the early days of live broadcasting, Dixon, within his Facebook group, I feel like, is where he would solicit people to give him words that he'd have to work into the broadcast. And a few times I played along with it, or some people would give them to me. That's when we had far more creative latitude.
Yeah.
And
you could still do it.
And I still could, especially if I was good at it. Those were some fun times. And then because we were always on YouTube for free every single broadcast, there would always then be almost the immediate reaction to like,
here's,
you got it in.
I've got it, Terry. Here's what we need. We need the Ellie Ezra check-in for hip words. She's like one of the youngest women on tour. She's probably the most connected
but not on socials.
You don't think she's...
Oh, no, I know she's not. I think there was a real push to just get her an Instagram account in the last few months. She wasn't on any socials.
I didn't know if she...
That's just not how...
If she was just more hidden took in...
No, she just wasn't on.
Well, then that's not going to work.
No.
Because I was trying to think of someone who's really young that's on tour. AB's already an old man.
Yeah.
He's out of college.
Or 24. Yeah. He's
might as well be retired.
Exactly.
Because he seems like one of the cooler kids on
Cadence
tour.
Cadence Burge. There you go.
Cadence. Yeah, sure. We could maybe get the Cadence Burge check in.
Yeah. She's going to.
What's the cadence?
Exactly. She's going to have to give us all the
cadence. If you want to figure out what the cool words kids are saying and let us know, and maybe with a definition, please too, or give us the word and we have to guess the definition.
There you go. That would be a good one for the pro tour to do at some of the pressers is when they get all the players.
We're just together. Giving them ideas.
Yeah. That's
way
true.
To go.
I don't know. LOL, he did an entire round of Ledgestone working in hundreds of Arrested Development quotes with me. Yeah, I believe it. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. It obviously, it's not too far-fetched from the kind of semi-famous weatherman that... Is he a news broadcaster? No, he's a weatherman, specifically meteorologist. He works in rap quotes, like rap songs, you know, everything from waterfalls or regulator, like you name it. He works usually like 90s rap songs
today was a good segment. Day.
Yeah, it's he's kind of famous out there on the TikToks or the Instagrams. Cynthia Ricciotti, yeah, she would definitely fit the bill really well. She is right in that pocket.
I can,
and even out of pocket, I feel like. Now, that one's dying, too. Out of pocket was a pretty big line for a while.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. It was totally out of pocket. Oh, yeah.
Oh. I mean, I've heard the phrase, but not as like a cool thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was, I mean, it wasn't off the chain or off the hook.
Jeez. Oh, God. You're going back 10 years now.
But out of pocket.
And if I say 10 years, it was probably 15.
More like 20. Yeah. 15 or 20. Anyway. All right. I think that's about all that we have. Here's maybe a question. Well, not maybe. Here is a question. I did the most low-budget, low-key version of a bag line review / introduction. Nate and Val received all of the new grip lineup, including the three different bags that are in the grip line, golf bags, regular golf bags, and then what they're calling the disc golf duffel, the ultimate duffel, and the travel duffel. Do I take those clips, which were done on my phone in Nate and Val's garage, which isn't the worst framing, do I take that and put that into a video? Do you guys care about that? Does anybody here care about that? I don't know that there's been, it's not the most in-depth. I don't break down every single pocket and zipper in every single one of those bags, because there's literally six bags and I wasn't about to do a separate video for all of them. Do any of you care? Do I put this together? I feel like I was blessed. It was really more of an opportunity than anything. I was blessed that I had literally every brand new bag from Grip, which just announced their new lineup.
Yeah.
Grip doesn't pay me or sponsor me or give me anything. So there's no kickback in that sense. I'm not keeping any of these bags. They all stayed in Bend with Nate and Val. I just feel like it's an opportunity that if you care about the new bags, maybe you would watch this, but I don't know. Jim says, do it. Well, he's the first one to reply with any response. Oh, and Alfred says, I'd like to see a quick review on them. All right, done. That's going to have to be my next video. I'm going to edit that tomorrow.
Do it, Terry.
And I think there's a little just opportunity that I don't know that anyone else has put out anything yet. So here's your first chance.
Okay, so before we end the show.
Uh-oh. Bob Goyke, coming out of Wisconsin, says
philosophical debate.
People would watch it, not him. People.
One of the big hot takes yesterday on the socials was...
Low-key, deadass?
No. You are familiar with the YouTuber Marquez... Was it Marquez Lee?
Yeah, MKBHE.
Yeah. Exactly.
Marquez Brownlee. Yeah, very much so.
Ultimate player, does tech reviews, whatever.
One of the best YouTube channels on the planet, honestly. 100%. Especially if you're at all interested on trending tech.
Yep.
Specifically phones, Appleware, Apple stuff, VR stuff, and then cameras, and now he's really dipping
cars
into cars.
Yeah,
he's into cars.
I know him. It's funny thing is, I never really followed him.
Yeah, I love him.
He's been around forever. So he did a review of an AI pin, a little pin about the size of a brooch that sticks to you. It has a little projector, so it can project things on your hand. You talk to it. It just like you would ChatGPT. He panned it. Bad. A lot of people, not a lot, there were a few people that were upset that he, because he's got so many
influence
that he
killed it,
could have possibly just killed this device. And he even said, he's like, this is a bad device as it is. You know, it could get better, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking about you reviewing these bags.
And that's where I draw a line at.
If they were legitimately bad bags, would you say that? Like honestly, guys, I wouldn't recommend these. Or clearly if they're legitimately good bags, which I think they probably are from Grip, where they have a really good history. It's easy to be like, oh, these are great bags. Look at the zipper. It fits this perfect and awesome. What about a bad review? We do not see that in disc golf hardly ever. Everyone, I think, is scared shitless to lose your contact with something, like, you know, or to quote unquote go hard at somebody or something, unless you've got like a true score to settle.
First of all, I don't want to say that's not a reason I haven't done reviews. However, that thought is in the back of my mind when I have the few reviews of things I have done. That's always in the back of my mind is, well, is this a company? You have to think about all the things. Did they send it to you? Did they send it to you for free? Are they paying you to review it? Mm-hmm. Did they explicitly say, you know, make sure you say the good and the bad and be brutally honest. Like all of those things come to mind. Are you by default already a reviewer or did you just get your hands on something and you feel a need to rip it? Like to me, all those things come to mind. And then obviously there's just flat out a journalistic integrity, right? That goes with calling a spade and calling it what it is. I was given a Pure bag when I was in Estonia last year. I was given the bag. They're made in Estonia. I was given a Pure bag directly from the owner. I used the bag for the weekend and then I did a review where I essentially broke down everything that I saw and experienced with the bag. If there are ways to make things better, I think the best thing you can do, it's like any other drink, so to speak, to be semi-constructive with it. I just think there's a way of saying, like, I think it's fair to say, this strap feels a little flimsy to me, or feels a little cheap, or this strap doesn't feel like it's reinforced. I'd love to see this particular shoulder strap reinforced. I guess it comes down to a little bit of your personality. Can you say that, or do you have to just say, yeah, this strap is shit? Right. Like, I think that comes down to just, I don't even want to say being like clever with your words, because that's not to imply any kind of deception.
There's criticism and then there's constructive criticism.
Exactly. Criticism. And then there's and there's just I'll say shitting on a product or shit, you know, or tearing apart one. I don't know. I'm a big fan of, people, if you are either given something or you buy it outright or whatever. And there's nothing. That's the whole reason. Like you're supposed to say like, this is an ad, right? When you're putting something on Instagram and you're putting out a product and you're saying like, if this is an ad or this is a paid advertisement, right? Like that's why they're supposed to be though. You're supposed to adhere to those things so that somebody may know, oh, hey, I was compensated with this, or this is just something that I think. I guess to your point though, I think there's a way of saying certain things are bad or certain ways that I think things can be improved upon. I don't have a problem with that. It's just a matter of like how much of a
dick do you want to be?
Yeah. And how brutal do you want to be? I mean, you should always be honest about it. Do you have to be like,
depends how bad the product
disparagingly
is,
you know, honest but. About it. Right. Yeah. And I mean, if it's garbage, it's garbage. And, and maybe you just need to call it what it is or say, hey, this is their first, I mean, he flat out ripped on Marquez, ripped on a some electric car. And he said, the software that's in this car that they kept promising would be updated and updated and updated hasn't been. And right now this interface and this car, this is terrible. They need to update this interface. And that's how he worded it one time, essentially with some off brand or newer EV car he was reviewing. I can appreciate that. And that's funny because that's where I explicitly though did say when I started my video, and I'll tell you guys, I'm not trying to do a review. I'm kind of trying to give you like a very basic instruction because I didn't take the time to read what they changed from last year's model to this year's model. I didn't show you every single pocket and every single zipper. I didn't show you the 13 different angles of how to, didn't stuff every single one of them with this. This is almost more of a,
it's not a review then.
Exactly. That's why I said, this is an introduction. This is a basic first impression of here's what these things are. And to me, that's how I distinguished it. I would not want anyone to consider what I did a review because it wasn't. Yeah. This is a first impression.
Yeah. It does bother me sometimes when you see reviews, like day one reviews of a product, like, oh, someone
said, I got this morning.
Like, that's not a review. Like
that's a first impression.
Yeah. You have not used that product. You have not, like, if I were to review a bag, I would want to use it for like 2 weeks, maybe every day on a course.
Or at least a couple tournament rounds. Yeah. It depends on what you think you're going to be most accenting or highlighting? Are you trying to highlight because they're really big on capacity, or are they trying to highlight on accessibility, or are they trying to highlight on durability? Because you're right. You're not going to get that from one weekend. You're not going to know just how durable it is from one weekend.
You won't even know how durable it is after 2 weeks. Like most bags will last at least a few months before they start showing wear. And if it doesn't, then sure, then you definitely have a durability issue. But, you know, what is a durable bag? You know, I've got two bags hanging up right behind the camera there, one of which lasted me 10, 12, 13 years and could still keep going. It's just an old backpack bag. You know, it's an old regular bag that we put backpack straps on, and great. You know, it's still working. It's still durable. There's no holes in it. You know, what is the life? What should your bag go? If I get, you know, I think I'm rolling with a Squatch bag now.
It's not a paid advertisement by Squatch or Grip.
No, but it should be. So if you guys want to pay us, we'll take your money and we'll say whatever you want.
Well, you can. I cannot in good consciousness review or talk about the Squatch bag. I haven't used it. You can.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. If they pay you, you can do it. and again, it works great. I have a few tiny little complaints I have with it, but sure. I would have to literally
take it to Twitter.
Yeah, take it to Twitter. I'll take it right to social medias and complain and, you know, put them on blast.
Yeah.
You can still say that, right?
Hot take.
But overall, I like the bag. It's good. But what I was getting at is, how long should that bag last me before it wears out? Do I compare it to a 15-year Revolution bag that I had, or 10 years? Or is a modern bag only supposed to last 5 years? I don't even know, to be honest. And for someone like me that doesn't golf nearly as much as I used to, that Revolution bag got a lot of rounds. This Squatch bag that I bought 2 years ago, maybe a dozen rounds so far.
Yeah. And so even that, saying like, well, it's lasted me 2 years. Well,
it's only lasted me 12 rounds.
Exactly.
And it's still in perfect condition. You wouldn't
you would hardly even know.
Yeah. I mean,
that's where I think trying to disclose those things and just being as upfront about some of those things as possible. Well, I've had this for 2 years. Look at it. It's like, yeah, like you said, you played 12 rounds with it. How much action did it really see? So anyway, that's why I think I specifically said, this is not a review.
Good.
This is more of a first impression unboxing, first impression more than anything about here it is. Because I didn't do all the in-depth, and all I thought was, man, yeah, if I want to do an in-depth, like I'm talking multiple angles, I'm talking individual bags, I'm talking about what, you know, being familiar with the previous bags to see where the upgrades were. I wasn't about to do all of that.
Hell's no.
That's not just really the style of my channel. Anyway, my Revolution bag has a few more decades left in it. Yeah, especially depending on your play and frequency. I could see that. Disc Golf Robot says, let's face it, Terry is most up to date on what the hip kids are saying.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that because you have two teenage daughters.
So whether I want to or not, I hear a lot of it. Still throwing a salient antidote to best finesse disc ever. Here's a quick thing I actually learned this weekend.
Okay, Terry.
Nate Doss said a word this weekend.
Nate Doss says words.
And I paused, and it wasn't until the next day I had to Google it. And I thought, am I saying it wrong, or is Nate Doss saying it wrong?
What? Oh, God. Well, how did Nate Doss say this word?
Nate Doss said lackadaisical.
I think that's wrong.
I think it's right.
Really? I thought it was lackadaisical.
So did I.
But is it lackadaisical?
I'm going to look it up again.
Okay. I mean, he could very well be right. I've always pronounced it lackadaisical.
So have I.
Like not
almost
not,
L-A-X.
Almost L-A-X, but it's probably L-A-C-S or something.
But there's no S there.
You're right.
L-A-C-K-A.
Lackadaisical. Okay. He's right. I would have been wrong. Lackadaisical. Okay. I'll have to correct myself.
I've been wrong all my life.
Nothing new there. Yeah.
There's a lot of things I've been wrong with. He said it. I paused. I remember the camera wasn't on us at the time, but I remember being in the booth. He said it and I paused. I'm like,
Did you say that wrong?
I wonder if it's regional as to why we say it the way we do. Because you and I both said it that way.
Well, probably like a lot of words, we heard it that way growing up.
Yeah.
Same city, same area.
Regional.
Yeah, maybe regional, but just the fact that... I don't know if it's just region, though. Just anyway. Nate is right, Ray says.
Yep. We
lack. Yeah. That all I kept thinking is, oh my God, how many people have screamed at their TV or at their headphones when they've heard me in the few times I've ever said it, but say the word and say it dead wrong, thinking you're such an idiot. I honestly had no idea. And there's the word especially, which most people just mispronounce.
Yeah.
Maybe because they get a little lazy. And then there's lackadaisical, which I just thought was lax. Like just flat out thought it was
correct.
Wrong.
There's
almost a difference here in these.
I never really thought about it. I just always pronounced it the way I had heard it. And so I had always heard it lackadaisical. And clearly that is incorrect.
Anyway, so.
Well, good. Now I know.
Folks, we're all learning here. That's the good news. Lack. Bone apple tea. I don't think that's.
Like bon appetit.
I don't think pop soda or Coke. That's a regional, like
Coke is regional because I think everyone went down in the Atlanta area, Georgia area says Coke because that was the primary soda there. And they have such a huge influence in that area. And it obviously went down south. But pop and soda.
Again, 100% regional.
Yeah. Like us in like
Wisconsin was pop.
Yeah. Us
Minnesota is pop.
Yeah. I think that. And I think like Pennsylvania or something dumb. There's like one state that calls it pop. And I haven't called it pop in forever.
Well, and
I call it soda.
I officially made the changeover in working at Subway.
Mm.
I called it. It was pop in our family all of my life. Here. Johnny and I growing up, if we were to ever talk, we would have said, hey, you want a pop? That was 100%. However, it got changed when I worked at Subway and you would say, would you like chips, soda, or cookies? As you're checking, you know, someone out and working the register.
Not chips.
And then, and then forever it just got changed in my, for the first 14 years of my life and everyone else and plenty of people in the state, especially in Wisconsin, it was pop.
And I wonder if they still say pop.
I don't feel like I hear it anymore.
I don't. And maybe it's because we're in Milwaukee and pop is more regional, even to northeastern Wisconsin.
Yeah. So it's sodi pop. So, yeah, that's kind of funny that way. Ray says, do you like having two Nates in the booth? Got to be annoying over time. Annoying's not the word I would use.
that makes it sound like you're going to use a worse word or something.
No. Does it get sometimes congested? And do I always feel like we need three? And now that's no rip on either of them or me. Take me out. Generally speaking, I feel like three feels a tad crowded sometimes.
I don't mind three because I feel like it almost forces you guys at times to let it breathe a little bit because you're maybe anticipating somebody else talking. Mm. So, you know, you'll get less of Doss while he's waiting for Sexton to talk, or Sexton doesn't talk as much because Doss is going to have a thought, or you're putting in your 20 cents because you're steering the show. I don't mind three. There are times maybe when it gets a little more exciting that people want to talk more.
Mm-hmm.
But in general, I personally have not noticed too much of a problem with a three person booth.
What I am happy about our three person booth when it does happen is whether or not we have enough silence that, you know, I'm sure plenty could argue that what we don't often do is talk over each other. That isn't a problem for us. And that I can appreciate. Now, do we maybe still talk too much? Sure. But we don't have a problem with talking over each other. And that's something I'm really proud of. And I feel like it's relatively natural. I'm not like holding over, shut up.
Well,
holding someone's mouth at any point, but we don't talk over each other and that much I appreciate.
You know, my rule, I've told you this for years. You should definitely talk 10% less. And when you do that, you're probably still talking 10% too much.
Yeah.
I think that goes for anybody in the booth. It's not just your booth, Ian and Philo, that same thing. Zoe and, JK, everybody, just everybody should talk less a little bit and see how it works. And then at that point, you're still probably talking 10% too much.
Yeah. And just the way it works. To your point, almost never will you say, will you see, now we only have chat for one of the three rounds. Almost never have I read the phrasing on the chat that's, hey, we need more talking.
No,
no one has ever, I've never gotten that feedback. Could use a little more talking from so-and-so. None of us have ever gotten that feedback. No. So that's where I agree with you that sometimes it's nice to just sit back and watch what's going on. And, you know, sometimes you feel compelled to talk, but then sometimes you're like, no, I'm just going to sit, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody else says something great. And if we don't, let's just enjoy what we're doing.
Ray was asking, he was actually meaning that the fact that they're both named Nate, is that ever frustrating or confusing?
Oh, that, no. It does feel weird sometimes to just say, hey, Doss or hey, Sexton, if I do want to address one of them. But there's no smarter way to do it.
No, I agree. And it's really funny because and granted, my relationship is different with him, but I wouldn't call him Doss to his face. Like, hey, Doss, how you doing? Like, for me, he's Nate. But Sexton, I would call him Sexton.
Sure. Yeah, you know, some people are just more... linked to their last name versus their first.
Correct. And it's not that Nate Doss isn't linked to his last name, because if I were talking about him in the third person, I would probably reference him as Doss. Mm. But if I were talking to him like in a booth, I would probably have to call him Doss just in that scenario. But in general, to me, he's Nate. But Nate Sexton, I would probably say Sexton, just because I do not know Nate Sexton nearly as well as I know Nate Doss.
Yeah, and
worked with them.
And to be fair, I think a lot of people are far more inclined to say, hey, Sexton, as opposed to, hey, Nate. Well, maybe not a lot of people. I am also that way.
Yeah.
I am far more inclined to ever refer to him as, hey, Sexton, yeah. are we going out to dinner tonight? You know, mm-hmm. after we, you know, do the show. I would say, hey, Sexton. So if I were looking right at him or trying to address him,
sure,
it goes hand in hand with the names. Jim Brown says, I'll just say Nate Queen refuses to be called Nate. Yeah, no, Nathan. Correct. And I can, of course, everybody wants to be called what they want to be called by, or some people don't care. But he has made it very clear that he's Nathan, not Nate. And there's that makes perfect sense to me.
I mean, it makes sense tonight. We talked to Tony Barella.
Yeah, it's Tony Barella. what is this? We got a murder Mike coming in from Facebook. Murder, are you the one guy holding down Facebook out there? You're probably the only one watching on that platform, but hope you're doing good. Pilcher says, would you call him sexy?
Behind his back. Look at that guy. He's sexy.
Yeah. Now, here, which is funny, one way that we could, if we really wanted to logistically maybe mitigate some of the confusion or frustration of the Nate scenario, is if I sat in between them, because then if I turned at any point during the broadcast, even if it's off camera, it would be more apparent who I was trying to address.
Don't you sit between them?
I don't. Oh, I sit on the end now.
Oh, okay. I guess I haven't seen you guys in the booth forever.
Yeah, I'm on the far right, and then it goes Sexton and then Doss at the end.
Oh, no, that last putt drops. I turn that shit right off. I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you guys.
So anyway, that's how it's gone down. Terry in the booth with Big D and Sexy. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we call us, the Big D and the Sexy. I think we're calling it. If you don't guys have anything else for us, we are going to call it. We appreciate you guys. Oh, we didn't do a giveaway.
Oh, you're right. Patreon.com/SmashboxTV.
Come on.
If you want to sign up at patreon.com/SmashboxTV, you will be entered into our weekly giveaway. This week, we have 133. Is that right? I think it's 133 people eligible. I'm looking. Yep.
Yeah, there it is.
And I sorted it by email address. So Terry Miller, quickly give me.
I would like the number 58,808. That's U.S. dollars to million pesos. So
that's not it. I'm going to
AB's one is third.
I was going to do three. That's what I was about to say. All right. Ooh, so our first number is 5. Our second number is 64. Our third and final number that we generate tonight is 9. Niner 49er. So let's go to number 9. I don't even have to scroll anywhere. Barney Davis. Congratulations, Barney Davis.
I don't feel like I've sent anything to Barney. Maybe in a long time. So excited to do so.
Yeah. Thank you, Barney. Barney is a Patreon supporter at a very high level. Thank you, Barney. We will get you. We'll get you something out of Terry's personal disc golf bag. I'll steal it.
Yeah.
I'll send it.
Yeah. Out of my new bag review.
Out of his new bag review.
My extensive in-depth Grip EQ bag reviews.
So thank you very much, Barney Davis.
Yeah, seriously. We do appreciate it. All right, a little over 3 hours. That's enough from us for this weekend. Enjoy the Music City Open. Johnny nor I are working it, so good luck with it. Hope everybody has a good time.
I will be watching the National Robotics Championships this weekend, where my son's team is competing.
You should
competing.
Do a companion stream of the live of that no. on Smashbox.
Maybe. We'll see. No, doubtful. So I'll be watching that, and maybe I'll have the Music City Open in the background, but I'm going to be more focused on robots throwing rings.
It's like a hot date.
That is.
For Johnny V, I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. That has been Smashbox TV Podcast 502's After Show. Thank you for the love and the support. Thank you to Anthony Barella. Congrats to him again on the Jonesboro win, along with Kristin Tatar from Estonia. We'll see you guys next week. You step inside the Smashbox.